Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian, the inevitable.
Instigator's emerged. Britannia's back in the inside. Instigator, Stern Idol. Stern Idol fight. Instigator, Stern Idol. The big boy's fighting like a lion. Stern Idol all the way. Brave.
Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100. It's getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We are thrilled to be previewing Caulfield Guineas Day, truly one of the best days on the calendar and definitely the best Caulfield race meeting of the year. Three group ones, the Caulfield Guineas, the Toorak Handicap and the Might and Power Stakes, previously known as the Caulfield Stakes. My name is Ben Colutia, I'm your host. I'm joined by Will the Bot Alford and Nico McGualter. He is back. So you, Nico disciples, put your hands together for Nico. I am going to crack a cold beer on the podcast as we welcome back the king. Nico, we're back.
Should I go get one?
Hello, boys. How are we?
Go on, bot. I'll give you 30 seconds to go and get yourself a beer from the fridge.
Good to see that my login hasn't changed. I was afraid when I put the headphones back on this afternoon or this evening that the headphones wouldn't work and the login wouldn't work. But yeah, I've had a little bit of a hiatus. There's been a bit going on that I don't need to dampen the mood of the podcast. But yeah, tough times don't last. Tough people do. And yeah, here we are. We're back.
Tough time never last.
Yes.
Tough people last.
Yes.
Surely you blokes have seen that on the socials.
Nah, anyway. Mate, you just look like a... No idea what you're talking about. You just
Nico, have you... I told Bot you were trimming down a bit. How's that going?
Yeah, we're humming along. We're going really well. So, well ahead of schedule at this point in time. So, yeah, we're kicking goals. Things have been... I might not have been on the podcast, but... I've been making moves behind the scenes. So things are on the improve and things are getting better. Mentally, physically, everything like that. So yeah. What better way to kick off back on the podcast with one of the best days of racing of the whole year?
We love that.
I encourage everyone to get to Caulfield, not to Flemington, to Caulfield on the weekend. It will be good. You'll see a champion and a coming champion both strut their stuff and probably put a hole in their opposition. But yeah, it should be a good card of racing. Weather looks good, so fingers crossed.
I reckon I know who Nick is talking about, but we will get to both those horses later. Nico, I don't know if you know, but our following has actually grown well, in the last month and a half.
If this declines this week, I know where the door is. If we're kicking myself out. Yeah, fucking hell. I did make that joke to you when you said that the numbers have been booming, and I said, "See, well, no, Nico, no. And the ratings boom. It's me holding the team down." But yeah, there's been a bit happened since I've been on the podcast in the racing world. Buckaroo's gone from pretender to contender.
I think you took it personally.
Oh fuck! what else has been happening? John Kanga.
Michael D's got the plum ride in the Group 1 this week. Yeah, it's all happening. Yeah, well, all your favourites.
If he gets beat, I know why. John Kanga, he's going to be a breath of fresh air for the racing industry because he's pro Sandown, pro Old Mounting Yard, Caulfield. He seems like a good type of bloke that I'd like having a beer with, and he looks like he's got his head screwed on. So that can only be positive for what's to come.
Mr. Roo Roo Roo.
Yes. It's been a few horses go by the wayside in the big features coming up.
Yeah, so Roof Rocket won the horse, 3-year-old colt or gelding of the year, sadly passed away. Pride of Jenny, she won the Australian Horse of the Year the other night. So
yeah, it's really what could have been with Roof Rocket, especially when you see what Showerwolf's come out and done. Like that just franks all that sort of form last preparation when he was running behind him. But yeah, it's going to really heat up, obviously, this weekend moving forward. But yeah, be interested to see how all these internationals start to go the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll have to get on to Liv. We might have to get her on the podcast and see how they're all doing out at Werribee in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Especially for those when our little present arrives, the unbeaten Coolmore Colt. As long as he's in cotton wool for the cup, that's all I give a fuck about, to be honest.
Mr. Jan Brugel, ridden by Ryan Moore in the cup. For those new listeners who haven't listened to the podcast while Nico hasn't been with us, hasn't been on, he is a little bit like, if he was a horse, he'd be a little bit like Kementari. He's just a little bit enigmatic, wins the occasional big race, and then goes off to stud and shoots blanks and had to come back and be gelded. So...
Oh, thank you for saying that because you've reminded me. I had something to break. I don't know if it has been, if it's come out yet or not, but there is going to be a horse coming back into work from stud duties because he, in fact, bro has been shooting blanks. Only got 3 out of 45 mares in foal. And yeah, from the Newgate team, I'll leave that to the imagination until it comes out, just in case it doesn't actually come to fruition. But yeah, I know a very popular horse that a lot of people liked this day last year. They thought he would win the Caulfield Guineas. Unfortunately, he did not. But yeah, that's the rumour on the street that he will be coming back into work in the autumn because his stud career has gone about as good as bots.
Well, Joe Marrero will be happy. He's back in the country, and it's very good to see. So I'm pretty sure punters can work out who that is, but we'll let, I think the news sort of has half surfaced, but I don't know if it's been official yet. Anyway, let's get to the racing, fellas, because this is going to be a long podcast. We're not going to be able to keep this under an hour.
Oh.
It's just not going to happen, bot. So let's not kid ourselves.
Bullshit while I was away, bot.
Let's not kid ourselves. This is going to be a marathon. Let's go to Caulfield, where the rail is in the true position. It's fine conditions on Saturday. Not too hot, not too cold. That's beautiful. That's how I like it when I go to the races. But any thoughts on the track at all, or is it just going to play beautifully and we're going to back plenty of winners?
I reckon it might race pretty fast, but...
That's fine.
Yeah, fast, so forward to midfield. Like, you know. Just same as always, back the fastest horse and settle further.
Easy game, punters.
Just I don't know, prefer to back horses that are forward of midfield. That's the general consensus, and you know, that more to the point, that's where I'll be betting.
Just be careful of how fast you think some of these tracks are going to play in the next month, because Racing Victoria can't afford any more horses to be breaking legs, breaking down over this carnival when all the eyes are on. So do not be surprised if these tracks are getting irrigated the shit out of during the week, which Bot absolutely hates. But
I don't hate it. Like, but
it's just going to be the reality.
I mean, I sort of was. I didn't love them chucking 7 mils on Flemington, but like, you know, it was stupid of me to doubt Liam O'Keefe. He did a great job. That Flemington track raced brilliantly. So
yeah, shut up, Bob. Eat your words.
I'll shut up. I apologize, Liam. I was wrong. Anyway.
What a training performance from Sir Chris Waller. Fantastic stuff.
Get Buckery out of the chair.
Getting Vea Sestina back on track.
Oh, yeah. Both of them.
Sir Chris. Bot's fave.
Knight him. All right. Let's get to the races. Race one is a 1,700 metre benchmark 80 Sabin. Well backed into $2.80 from Nails Murphy, $5. LeZebra, she's still hanging. Sorry, he is still. Sounds like a girl's name, LeZebra, when you read it out. He is still holding on to that one rating, $7. Platinum Destroyer, $10. And Extreme Virtue, $11. But give us a winner early on in the day.
Yeah, well, it's just about the only one I've got. I don't love the Caulfield meeting. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't want to be a dampener on the day, but I don't love this Caulfield meeting. I don't love the early prices. Yeah, sorry.
Boring.
But Sabin in the first, a favorite, I think is, you know, it's a progressive horse. But, you know, it was shuffled back that day at Flemington and just ran really, really nice time. And, yeah, I just think he's going places. Some of these horses aren't. He did it all in his first preparation. You know, he got out over to the run fourth in the Queensland Derby, got a long way back there, and he's come back as a better horse this preparation, and I think there's more to come from him. So up to 1,700 metres, I think it suits him perfectly. And there's a bit of speed on here, so, you know, get barrier one might be slightly sticky, but not to the point where I don't want to back it. So, you know, I'm on it. I don't want to be the bloke that tells you I'm on at 360, but 350, and you know it's 290 now. But I'd still take 290. I think that's a fair price. I think it's more like a $2.60 chance, maybe even as short as 240. I could see the market latching onto it because I think it can progress onto much better things than this. So, Sabin in the first for me.
That's right, Bot, because I've got some of my subs on at $3.60. So this is a good bet.
People listen to the podcast. Like, I don't want to be that guy. Like, I've backed this thing at $3.60. No, it's $2.90. Sorry, guys.
Yeah,
but well, take $2.90.
Well, not everyone's a price sensitive snob like you.
Well, so you should be.
Most of our punters here, if they say Bot's keen, they're going to back it, whether it's fucking $2.90 or fucking.
Well, everything is price. You have to be price sensitive. Everything is price. I'm not betting on horses.
Don't go broke, back in winners, bruv.
I reckon more than 60% of our listenership wouldn't be completely price sensitive.
Well, you have to be. And if you're not, you should like at least. You should think about being price sensitive.
Well, the faithful, that's what betting is. All I've heard is you've been on some tear since I've been gone. No. I couldn't really believe it when someone told me about it. I said, this has to be factually incorrect.
Mate,
there's no fucking way this has happened.
I'm so, so ready for variance just to completely, like, just.
Yeah, well, it's this week. I am variance.
Excuses.
Me.
Yeah, excuses are coming. Like, a Mornington today.
Oh, just shut up.
Yeah, right.
Shut your mouth. Sabin, good bet. Barrier one is a little bit sticky, but if he gets the breaks, I think he's extremely hard to hold out. Peter Moody is too smart just to, you know, to tell Luke Nolan just be negative out of the gates. From barrier one, you need to be positive because you're going to encounter less traffic in the back half of the run. It was extremely good last start, and I think it will go again. Nails Murphy's probably the main danger, but he's starting to creep up in the weights a little bit and is getting a little bit longer in the prep. So I think Sabin is the one still on the upward trajectory and can start us off on a winner. Okay, let's go to race two. It is the Thoroughbred Club of Australia Plate. It's a 1,200-metre three-year-old event for the fillies. Erno's Cube, 440. I Am Velvet, 460. Kurianagi, 480. Keepsake, 550. And Silmarillion, 650. Process of elimination here. Kurianagi, I don't think she has come back as well as she left off as a two-year-old. I don't think she's really made that transition.
What's she doing 480? That seems short as.
Don't know, but she was awful. She was awful last start. So you put the line straight through her. I'm going to put the line straight through Silmarillion, who's fifth up. I don't really like Godolphin horses when they're getting really deep into the prep. And although she went out to 1,400 meters last start, and maybe that was a bridge too far, I just think this is going to be a bridge too far also. And while she's back in trip, gets J-Mac on, I think she's on the downward slope rather than the upward slope. So for me...
Oh, the 1,000 guineas winner's back.
Okay. Yeah, there's probably 2.5 chances in the race. Erno's Cube deserves to be favourite because she just has a consistent ratings base that has slowly gotten better and better with each start. And she's the one I can probably trust the most. She brings the best form lines in the race coming down from Sydney. I know she draws wide here, but it's the shoot turn at Caulfield. So only one turn. It's an easy, easy ride for Johnny Allen. And her sectionals would suggest that she's still got more to come. And if she can just be ridden a little bit closer, I know she's drawn barrier 9, but it doesn't really matter if she sits wide. So I think this is her race. I am Velvet. She's a nice horse, but she has laid in badly in all three starts, and everything is going to be geared towards the 1,000 guineas for her. So 1,200 meters first up, although Philip Stokes is a good fresh trainer, I'm only putting her down as a half a chance. The exciting horse in the race is Keepsake. This horse has trialed like an absolute star, and you don't really know how good she is just yet, but the fact that they've gone on debut, put her straight in a race of this sort of class, she could be the real flyer. So I probably want to wait to get a bit better price for her because there's no data on her obviously being on debut, but I'm main bet Erno's Cube, and I'll have something on the 12 Keepsake as well.
Is there 50s available for the 1,000 guineas or not?
Took 100-1 this morning.
That's fantastic betting.
Yep, full and 26th place.
Full credit to you.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't really have a firm opinion in the race, but anyone that's listened to me not of recent times, but in the past, I've got a massive opinion of Iron Velvet. I reckon she's the 1,000 guineas winner. We tipped her when we were in the RSN studios at about 26-1. I think she's about 11-1 most joints now. And I expect her to show a positive return to racing on Saturday. It is worth noting she has spent a bit of time down at Julian Welsh's fixing her issue of not understanding how to be a racehorse, but still being a very good one. Stokesy said today on the airways that they're confident that they've got that under control. She's had two jump outs where they've snagged her back and let her run on, and she's ran straight. So he said that's as good as we know at this point in time. He said that obviously nothing's going to test her like race pressure, but they seem to think that she's getting out of this this bad habit she's been in. So if she can fucking run straight, well, it's exciting because she's been running like a drunken sailor and still been putting him to the sword. But she cannot afford to do that as the races get better. So
she beat Dom last start, who's not very good.
Yeah, correct. But she can't really do any more than what she's done because she couldn't have done it any worse than what she's done it. So, yeah, hopefully they've fixed those matters out and we see a positive return on Saturday. But, yeah, I don't really have a firm opinion. I just want to see her run well and all systems go towards 1,000 guineas for me.
Yeah, it is worth noting they put the bubble cheeker on. So usually that is for a horse that lays in. They put the bubble cheeker on one side of the cheek. So that might straighten her up as well. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we move on to race 3, the Northwood Plume, 1,200 metres for the 4-year-old plus mares at Group 3 level. A Little Deep was a little bit caught in the inferior ground last night. She's the $3.40 favourite, bless you, from Extra 2, $6.50. AVH was $7. Kundalini got the better of A Little Deep last night, is $7.50. And Charmstone draws a little bit cast, is $9.50. Nico, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I thought this race was pretty simple, to be honest. It's not really a race that I'll usually like getting involved in, but this just stood out to me A Little Deep. She's been super. This preparation up until last start where she was in the inferior and she probably still should have won. Kundalini just had the dirty suck down the outside. and dive bomb them on the line. That form's already been franked with Revolutionary Miss running third, was only about another half length behind A Little Deep and Kundalini last start. And yeah, I just think that's probably the best form in this race. Extra two, she's honest, but her winning streak sort of petered out a little bit. Kundalini's going to have to go right back from 12, and I just don't think, all things being equal and fair, that she's going to have the margin on A Little Deep like she got last time. And there's a lot of horses here that you can put the pen through. I know Charmstone, she hasn't been going super well at the trials, and she's got more issues than me.
You,
Charmstone, man. She's got a fucked throat, and the list goes on, apparently. So half typical of those price getting horses somehow. But yeah, I think there's a lot of dead wood in this race, and I think A Little Deep, she's consistent. She's going to be there up on speed. Zara from a good draw. This is his time of year. Yeah, I just think she looks a pretty easy bet to have.
Yep. I've heard something each way small on the 15, right down the bottom. Bezo, this horse ran in a benchmark 58 last start, but carried the monster weight there of 62 kilos, sat really wide, and still rated to sort of 91. So I thought that was a pretty good rating, given, you know, that was only a benchmark 58. I think she can progress onto better. Yeah, she was in behind Keepseek, you know, not really given a tough time. But I just think Declan Bates is going to be the perfect rider for this horse, because she's drawn barrier one early in the day. We know he likes to be positive. I just think she's going to get run of the race. So I've had something small each way at $31 and $7 for a place. You know, the stable have always had a high opinion of her. She ran fourth to Roland High last prep. I know she was well beaten, but I think she's better suited at these sprint trips, and perhaps the penny has sort of just dropped this preparation. I think she can at least run a hole at those big odds. I would be shocked if she's not outrunning that big SP. So, yeah, A Little Deep's definitely the one to beat, but I don't particularly love her drawn low, because I think the way she won the Chautauqua Stakes, circling the field out around wide, is probably her best scenario, and last start she wasn't quite as explosive on the inside, even though she was in the inferior going.
Yeah, I've had something small on Bizzo too, but I hope it goes to Seymour on Sunday, because it's 440 and I think it should be like a short price favorite. So hopefully it scratches and I can have a proper bet on it on Sunday.
All right, well, do you know what race it's in on Sunday?
No, but it's at Seymour.
All right, maybe the odds
you can figure that out, yet. And the punters can figure that out.
Yeah. All right, so race four.
If it's scratched.
It is the Ladies' Day Vase, or as they call it, the Catnars 150 Years Vase, the sponsor. It's a 1,600-meter race for the mares as well, Group 3 level. Lady Jones, $5. City of Lights, $5. See You in Heaven, $5.50. Grinzinger Bell, $6. And Fire of Etna is $10. Nico, I'll hand the baton to you.
I think the best value of the day is in this race. I don't love Barrier 12, but I was really keen to be with Vibrant Sun. This is a horse that takes a massive jump in improvement from its first up to its second up run. It was a good horse to me last preparation after a credible first up run when it won at the Valley at a good price, and I think a lot of these horses race each other majority of the time, and I don't think there's a hell of a lot between them. It just really depends on who gets the right run on the right day. And, yeah, for me, I think she's a get-back run-on horse anyway. Barrier 12 is really going to cement that. Maybe she could have sat a pair or two closer potentially, but, yeah, she beat Grinzinger Bell second up last preparation at the Valley. I think she's probably even better suited here at Caulfield, even though her stats, like, she hasn't really ran here a lot. She only ran here once in the 1,000 guineas, but Yeah, I just think Caulfield should be no issue for her. She's a class mare, and she's a mare that I've always had a lot of time for. So, yeah, I like the step to the mile here from 1400. She's probably going to be even better again, third up 2000 meters. But I just think good ground, second up. It's been a winning formula for me before, and I was happy to be in her corner.
Beautiful. I've backed three horses in the all-in markets here. I will start with Lady Jones, the seven, who we've backed at $11. This horse was wide off the track last start at Moonee Valley, although it wasn't a fast tempo, so that makes it a little bit easier to sit deep on the track. I still thought her run to only be beaten less than a length by Elsafina was very, very good. And she does come into this race with the best last start figure by some way. She ran to 96.6 there. She's going to be afforded a much better run from barrier four. I think she can either sit in the box seat, in the 1-1 or maybe two back one off. And I think, you know, the progression up to 1600 meters is perfect. So third up, she's the on top tip for me. I've also backed See You in Heaven. So as you can tell, I really do like this Elsafina form. Grinzinger Bell that won this race at Flemington, well, it was just a bit of a non-event where Grinzinger Bell got her birthday out on speed. See You in Heaven split Grinzinger Bell and Elsafina. I thought she was really good. Craig Williams has already ridden her to win over the mile. I think she might have won a Sandown Stakes at Caulfield. She beat the boys, Sandown Stakes or Sandown Guineas, one of the two. And up to 1,600 metres is absolutely perfect for her. So she'll be going forward, hopefully, from barrier eight, fourth up, dry track, no problems there. So those are my two main bets. And we've also had something small on the 11, which is Fire of Etna. I just think you forgive her last start. She didn't get a whole lot of luck. And if you look to her start prior at Caulfield, she bombed them late. So she was $34 in the all-in market, and I think she can hit back hard. I just wasn't rapt about the gate she drew, but nonetheless, I'm happy to be on at the price. So those are the three I'm backing, 7, 3, and 11. All right, let's move on to race 5. It is the Weekend Hustler. It's a listed event, 1,400 metres. Jimmy Starr, $2.20. Will he run here or will he run in Sydney? Coastwatch is $8. Houdez is $10. Running By, $11. And Run Harry Run is $12. I think I'm on my own here. I thought Jimmy Starr was awesome winning first up over 1,100 metres. So we've had a bet at $2.50. 1,100 metres to 1,400 metres is a little bit icky, but I legitimately think this horse could be starting favourite or close enough to in a Rupert Clark. That just seems to be his preparation. Everything seems to be geared towards the Rupert Clark. He's going to get in light in a race like that. And I think if he kicks their heads in again on Saturday, then there's a big chance he's going to be just about favourite with Magic Time in the race. So
it's good to see you and Jimmy have reunited to be friends again.
We have. And this is a horse, you know, that I actually laid once or twice last preparation. But
not just laid, promise cut him off at the neck.
Yeah. Well, I was against him first up at 1,100. And the booming turn of foot that he showed, I just think he's a horse who does require a bit of luck and maybe circumstances at time, but right, Blake Shin is absolutely the rider for him, and barrier six is probably perfect. So I have had a good bet on him, and I've also saved on Coastwatch, who is just going to have the PR of all PRs here from barrier two with Mark Zara on board. I can't be bothered getting beaten by Mark Zara in the shadows of the post again. It just happens way too often.
In yellow silks especially.
Yeah, regardless, and this horse has... This horse does have a scalp over Jimmy Starr, albeit Jimmy Starr was incredibly unlucky that day at Scone. So, yeah, those are the clear two for me. They're 1-2 in the betting. They should probably be a little bit closer together in the betting. So if you want to back Jimmy Starr, I would suggest wait.
There's some dead wood in this race.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Are you having a bet race in a safe spot or not?
The Weekend Hustler. I sort of thought... You could probably forgive Running By, but what do they do from gate 16? I don't know.
With that bloke on top, STI. Squibble.
He's a good rider.
Oh,
I couldn't touch 220 Jimmy Starr. You know, he went really well first up. He's 11 of 14. It's not a race I want to be involved in. Like, you know, like I was sort of 280 Jimmy Starr. It was yesterday, or was it yesterday or early this morning? I was sort of half thinking, it's almost getting about to the price where you think about it. But yeah, 220 is not something that I'm going to be involved in. So I probably need 280, 293 bucks to get involved. And I highly doubt that I get that price. So I'll let this race go by, I think.
Sweet. Let's go to the Herbert Power then. Obviously, win and you're into the Caulfield Cup. Group 2, 2,400 metres. Post Impressionist is 550. Gear Up, $6. Hurricane, 650. Dashing Duchess, 750. Fancy Man, 950. And Herman Hess, $11. I think the first three in the market you can sort of get rid of here. Post Impressionist draws barrier 13. I've got serious question marks on just how well he's going.
What the fuck's happened? Ever since they fucked him in Sydney, he's just looked like dead set. No, but like when he won the Mannion Cup, it looked like he was the next like super stayer in Melbourne, Sydney.
Yeah.
And now they've just completely ruined him.
Not the first and not the last Lloyd Williams horse to come over and make a big impression on their first Australian start and then just go by the wayside.
Why they backed him up and not just went to the Sydney Cup? Like, fair dinkum.
Yeah.
And now they're playing catch up. They might have fucked him forever now.
Yeah, I'm happy to be hard against him here. I'm also happy to be against Gear Up. Is he really a 2,400 metre horse? I sort of think he's better suited at 2,000. And Hurricane, I mean, as good as he's been and he's progressing through the grades.
This money is relentless.
He won a benchmark 70 last start and he's $6.50 in a Group 2 Herbert Power.
He's ridiculous. He's been 26s in from the start of the week.
I think it's all Nick's money, to be honest. And I think he'll drift accordingly on the day. There are three horses I've had something on. The first is Dashing Duchess, who we got an incredible $26 for. All in, I think you just sort of have to forgive this horse's last start performance on a heavy track. I just don't think she handled the going. It was a pretty wet day there, and Point King took out that race, but that was the day where it was hailing there at Flemington. She's deep in the preparation, so that is the legitimate query, but she draws barrier 4. She gets back onto firm footing. She's got very, very good ratings over this sort of staying journey, so happy to be on there. Herman Hess, again, Declan Bates, drawn barrier 1. Go forward, try and break their hearts from the 400. He was awesome winning last start at Mornington. The rating was solid enough. Gets in with just 53.5 kilos. We know how important that is over 2,400 metres. And he's fit, you know. Trained by Kieran Maher over the staying trips. At $12, I think that's an easy bet and the price is still there. And the other one I'm having something on is Braden Starr. This horse ran second in the Bendigo Cup this time around last year, went around $7.50 after winning the Benalla Cup, beating Aaron Bay, $2.30. Aaron Bay was absolutely expressed in betting last week. Draws barrier 11, but we get Willow, fourth up, perfect, gets you out to a staying trip. I thought he was solid enough last start at Benalla. Beaten by Swazero, but yeah, I think he's another one just completely over the odds. So those are the three horses I'm happy to put my money into on Saturday.
Interested to see the map.
Yeah, I'm going to bet in this race. Three that I'm, you know, I don't think, yeah, as you said, Ben, Hurricane, that seems short. Sort of market price, Gear Up, Post Impressionist, that's a disgusting price for me. I think it'll probably start double figures. The three that I'm going to back are LaDonda V, Braden Starr, and Herman Hess. I think Herman Hess probably rolls forward. I think Braden Starr, you know, he ran second in a Bendigo Cup behind Interpretation last year, ran a good number, and that Benalla Cup rated really well. He gets him with 54 kilos, and LaDonda V, there was just like just hints there last time. So he resumed during the winter, two poor runs and 60 days between runs. He went to Caulfield in, I don't remember the name of the race. Just got a long, a long way back and sort of rattled home in some good enough splits for me to think that he might be able to settle a touch closer and get back to somewhere near his best form. And, you know, at the end of the last preparation, he was starting favourite in a Tancred or well, thereabouts anyway. That was a long time ago. So they've sort of run the rust off him and he might be able to just get back to somewhere near his best. He's obviously in the Kirimar stable. They're great conditioners of horses. So I think, you know, 1680 is the best price now. So, you know, that sort of price for those horses, I think is, you know, great betting. I like Gear Up, same as you, Ben. I sort of think he's half, he might be maxed out at 2,000, and I think this will be strongly run. So, you know, I think if he runs to his rating, I think he can win this race, but I just think it's a case of he's at his absolute best at 2,000 and just a strongly run 24 might just see him out. So I'm happy to be on those three.
Sweet. Well, Don DeVee's next win will be April 29 next year.
What's that?
It'll be the maiden hurdle at Warrnambool on day one. We'll have an absolute fill-up.
Yeah, jumps might be canned by then, mate.
Fuck off. Sorry to break your heart. Don't fucking roll me up. I'll be Nico's back bigger than ever. We're already missing it.
He's going to need the tissues here. He might have a cry if I keep going with that.
Turn it up.
Race 7 and the first leg of the quaddy is the Sportsbet Might and Power Stakes 2,000 metres Group 1 for the Weight for Age horses. I think there's only two Weight for Age horses here. Number one, Mr. Brightside, is $1.60 favourite from a tissue on the quick backup, $5. Deny Knowledge is $7.50. That seems tight. Coco Sun's $13. Jenny Lala, $17. Who wants to go first in the Group 1?
I'll go first.
Yep.
Pretty simple race, this. Mr. B from one, not a matter of how, just how far. And a tissue is the only one with any sort of resistance. Although I don't think she will beat him around Caulfield. Had this been Flemington, where she tends to prosper, I think it might be a bit more of like a $1.80 sort of $4 job. But I just think Mr. B, who goes well around Caulfield, maps to get the gun run here, I just think it'll just be a procession. I think he'll win. She'll run a very gallant second, and it's anybody's guess for third. There's a bit of a narrative going around amongst the airways that Deny Knowledge is the fly in Mr. Brightside's ointment. If that happens, I won't be turning up again next week. Dead set.
He threatens us every week on us.
Deny Knowledge is the fly in Mr. B's ointment. Give me a fucking spell.
I think last year, everyone including myself went, Alligator Blood, he's not really a 2,000 metre horse. They might go fast here and try to get him beat. He dead set sat on the speed, was jogging from the 600 and put panels on them.
You know who absolute started favourite in this race last year?
Just Fine.
Oh, what a world.
What a world. What a world. I think a good gallop will actually bring Mr. Brightside. A good gallop usually brings the best horse into the race. And I don't think this is going to be Pride of Jenny tempo. That's what everyone's saying.
I know.
Deny Knowledge is going to go as fast as Jenny. She can't go as fast as Jenny because she's not as good.
Yeah. It's as simple as that. If she goes as fast as Jenny, she'll be going backwards before the corner. Simple as that.
She's going to capitulate. Yeah. And the other massive thing with this speed map and the speed in the race is that Deny Knowledge still might go to a Caulfield Cup next week on the backup.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, are they really going to be busting her up a week before and going sort of 15 above? No, they're not. Mr. Brightside sits just in behind the speed, probably sits second or third in run from barrier one, and he should be too good. I think a tissue and Mr. Brightside should be a little bit closer together in betting, just marginally. I'd probably mark Mr. Brightside sort of $1.75 and a tissue $4.20, $4.40. She was okay in a high rating race last week in the Turnbull. She ran to 99. We know the winner, Via Sestina, ran to 104.7. Every time she's backed up, which is twice, she's won on both occasions. And she ran 98 in the Empire Rose last spring and then went bang with a 103 in the Champion Stakes. So it's not Flemington 2000 metres. She's probably not as good at Caulfield, but we've backed her at $3.40 for a place all in. I think that's an incredible bet. So, yeah, I'm Mr. Brightside on top. I've got a tissue in second, and I've got Coco Sun in for third. If that's the order they finish in, if Mr. Brightside can win and a tissue in Coco Sun can place, then dead set, come find me at the bar, because we've backed Mr. Brightside at $7 all in, Coco Sun $4.60 the place, and a tissue $3.40 the place. Prayers, prayers, prayers upon us. Will.
Yeah, mate.
Give us your assessment
good,
of the race.
Good to have you here.
Oh, I make him $1.63 and I make the tissue I make a tissue $4.97. So
next best?
Looks about right. Oh, what is my next best? I don't even know. It doesn't really matter, does it? Like I think it's a 2-horse race.
Beautiful.
Yeah, sorry. Like she's $1.72. My next best is Deny Knowledge and then Coco Sun. So
you mark it order.
Yeah, I mean it.
Tab, old Tim Ryan reckons Mr. B will get to $1.75. They're happy to push him out.
He's $1.72 right now, so I'd assume he does. But, you know, I just think, I mean, the only real query is whether he runs a strongly run 2000. I mean, he runs second in a Cox Plate. It wasn't a strongly run Cox Plate, but, you know, if he's there if he runs to his best, they won't beat him. And we've seen enough of this preparation to suggest he is at his best, and you know that's why he's $1.70. So, geez, I've just had a look at Deny Knowledge's price. She's $8. What?
Yeah,
crazy,
it's madness.
That's ridiculous.
Anyway. I reckon it's because everyone's actually backing her the place heavy, and then that's actually affecting her win odds, which actually can happen when people are having thousands and thousands of dollars on a horse to place. Then often they just shorten overall.
Yeah, well, I mean, once the betting starts, it's not going to be...
She was 26 and 650, all in.
All in, yeah.
He deserves to be clear favourite.
I don't think she's a horse that you could ever be confident backing the place. Like, we backed her when she won up wherever that bush meeting was, but she was dead set racing a field of fucking goats.
Yeah, she beat Touristic.
Yeah, and... But
what price would Touristic be here?
Yeah, any sort of decent race, there's no way you could ever be confident backing her in the place, because the way she runs her races, she either runs well and wins or she capitulates.
Yeah. And Mr. Brightside beats a tissue. Coco Sun fills the miners into third. Prayers, 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 punters. Quaddy, do we take Mr. B one out or do we take a tissue as well?
One out.
Mr. B one out.
All right. I might do another one where I do take a tissue. Mr. Brightside, one out for the sake of the podcast. Let's go to race 8. It is the Caulfield Guineas, 1,600 metres, group 1 for the 3-year-olds. Broadsiding is going for his fourth group 1. First up in Sydney, he became the first horse ever to win the Golden Rose first up. Incredible scenes. He's a $1.55 favourite from Mayfair, $7.50. Angel Capital, $9. Evaporate, $12. Private Life, $16. Wanarua is $17. I'll quickly go first. You know, I don't need to say too much. Broadsiding has a clear dominant ratings profile over these that is simply better. And he's elevated when he's gone to 1,600 metres. In the JJ Atkins, like, that was an incredible win. He returned with a whole new career peak in the Golden Rose, beating the best horses, Traffic Warden, Storm Boy, and they're not here. So he's got to beat Mayfair, who had the fitness edge on him last start, might not be as well suited up to 1,600 metres. Angel Capital and Evaporate, like horses like that, Private Life, they just haven't been rating anywhere near it well enough to get near him. And I really don't mind him drawing out 9 here. James McDonald is just going to try and find that 3 wide with cover line, pull out from the 300, and hopefully he puts a margin on him. I think this is the most likely winning chance of the day. I think he's a lot more likely than Mr. Brightside, and you can mark him a fair bit shorter. We have taken really small bets all in at the 6 day from Mayfair, $51 a win and $14 a place. Pretty happy with that. And the other one we backed all in was Wanarua at $9 for a place. I probably have him only sort of fourth pick, but he's the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott horse who is going to be leading here. Draws barrier three, going to be in front for a long way. He's going to be rock hard fit. Just a matter of whether he can run the 1600 meters out strong, but at $9 all in for a place, I thought he was a good bet. The other one is probably public attention for a place, but yeah, all roads lead to broadsiding winning here and then starting favorite, which he will start favorite in the Cox Plate after he wins this on Saturday.
Yeah, funny that Gay said she couldn't really separate Mayfair and Wanarua. I found that quite interesting.
Beautiful.
I would have thought Mayfair. Bloody beautiful. I would have thought Mayfair's got a little bit on Wanarua, yeah. But anyway, surer thing than death, broadsiding. There's no possible way that he'll get beat. This horse is a fucking freak, and I think we're going to see something pretty special on Saturday. This could be autumn sun-like demolition. Put a real, real sword to his rivals. J-Mac up in the irons. 100th Group 1. One for the photo. One for the memorabilia type. Yeah. I think this will be something worth watching. And this will be a moment where you just go, where were you on Caulfield Guineas Day in 2024? Yeah, this horse is the real deal, and I expect him to be very, very hard to beat in the Cox Plate with only 49 kilos. But, yeah, the love for this horse I have is probably unmatched since the other horse I used to love that wore these colours in the Big A. I think broadsiding could be a better horse than Animo when the times of their careers are both done. I do hope that Godolphin adapt the same philosophy with broadsiding as they did Animo, and we do get to see him beyond his three-year-old season. Whether that depends whether he wins a Cox Plate or not, I hope that doesn't decide that, and I hope that we get to see him for at least another year or so. But, yeah, he's a very special talent broadsiding, and, yeah, it's probably no hiding from the fact he's my favourite horse probably going around at the moment, and I think he will absolutely destroy them.
Sweet as. Will Alford, you alerted us to a special that PointsBet had. It didn't last very, very long, but yeah, you were able to get a bet on. $2, no max bet, and you've had a bet.
Yeah.
Surely that's so something weird to get excited about.
Well, this is so weird, and I'll talk about it. So, I mean, I probably shouldn't talk about it because, you know, and I'm sure it'll probably get voided, like, let's be honest. But so it was like, so normally these things are like restricted, and you know, I normally can't like even get on futures like for a certain amount of money, but this was completely unrestricted and for the points, but they were offering even money for it for unlimited. So
as how long do you reckon it was up when you had your bet? Like half an hour?
I think it was like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, right.
And then, like, because I told you, because someone passed it on to me, another bloke called Will, he passed it on to me, and like was like, "Hey, mate, they're betting even money for broadsiding, and like I'm fucking restricted, so like just have a go at it, see what happens." So I did, and like, you know, normally like I can't even like get money off like a futures bet, and I was able to have a good bet on this at even money, and
you nearly spat it out.
it'll probably get voided on the day. Like I hope it doesn't, but
no, they've got to. They have to have voided it by now. They can't just have the bet sitting there.
Well, maybe it has been. I haven't checked it.
PointsBet are pretty good with that sort of thing. Benny and I have been on a few rules.
Well, yeah, before. And then like they because they took it down like a couple minutes after.
Don't expect to have another get a bet on with them ever again after this. So.
Yeah, so they took the thing down, and it went back up, and I tried to bet again, and it didn't let me. So I assume what happened was they put up the market and they didn't turn restricted betting on or off or whatever, yeah. And so I've been able to back it, and you know I'm on at $2 for broadsiding in the Caulfield Guineas. So Caulfield Guineas, they before that was quite sort of might have been a low betting day, but it's quite a big betting day for me now.
anyway, that's brilliant.
It'll probably get voided, but whatever. We'll see what happens, and Saturday might be a good day.
Yeah, let's hope. I was able to secure $3.50 all in pretty much as soon as you crossed the line in the Golden Rose. There was one bookmaker that hadn't taken their markets down. $3.50 was still there. Took the $3.50, smashed it, and then I was able to get a little bit more on it, the $2 on the points bet special in the futures section. So prayers up to the sky, broadsiding wins. Mayfair runs second, and Wanarua falls into third by a nose. Let's hope. We're talking to a lot of things into existence here, but you know what? It's feast or famine. It's Caulfield Guineas Day, baby. Let's go to race nine. It is the Scalacci Stakes, Group 2, 1,100 metres. Mornington Glory, Group 1 winner. He's $4 from recommendation $4.40. Kalos is $5. Oscar's Fortune is $6. Star Patrol, $7. And Bellatrix Star is also $7.
Sorry, let me just say, I have broadsiding $1.30, so that's relevant to the Caulfield Guineas conversation.
Yeah, and we are taking broadsiding one out in the quaddy, so there you go, Connors. Yeah. Nicholas, are you betting here?
I'm putting the sword through one, and I'm backing two.
Oof.
I think this race presents a great opportunity. Mornington Glory's been excellent this preparation, albeit I think he's had a lot in his favour. He's a horse that goes very well around Moonee Valley, and I think he goes probably a couple of lengths better at Moonee Valley. And I just see him being zipping four at Caulfield. His record outside of Moonee Valley's not that crash hot, and I just sort of want to be against him here. He's had a great preparation, full credit to Gav and the owners, but I think the luck will run out come Saturday. There's two horses I want to be with in this race. The number one Saddlecloth, Oscar's Fortune. I had a lot of time for this horse. His form in WA is proper, and the WA form always holds up. When it comes over here, he's got a beat to Amelia's Jewel, albeit when she's probably better over further, but he was only beaten a length in the Quokka to overpass in Amelia's Jewel. That overpass form is top-notch Group 1 form, and he was gallant in the Goodwood in WA, in South Australia, sorry. I like that he's going to be here. Good ground, low gate, frosty on. Someone who needs to probably get in a bit better form, and this might be the horse for him to do it. The other horse I want to back in the race is a horse that's got more issues than ability, probably, but he is a very smart horse on his day. He's drawn fucking awful here in eight, but yes. Star Patrol, he's a cracking bet in this race. Like, his best is probably arguably nearly the best in this race. He's got all the right form, albeit he probably goes a little bit better around, a little bit better at Flemington. He's a horse that's had lots of soundness issues over his career, but Clint McDonald's adamant that this is the best he's ever had him. His trials and his lead up in preparation for this have shown that, and I just think this is a great race for him to kick off his preparation. Ben Mellum goes well with him. I'm just really happy for that two bet strategy. I could be wrong here. Mornington Glory could come out and probably just win again, but I'm happy to be against him with two sort of fresh horses on the scene, and I think it's a race that you can get involved in and make a dollar.
Yeah, I'm also backing two horses. The first of those is number two, Mornington Glory. I think Gav's going to be rewarded here for being patient. Obviously, the owners probably thought after he won the Moya, the natural step was to go to the Manicato. Well,
he doesn't I think they've made the 1200 down a hill.
Yeah, I think they've made the right decision not going to the 1200 there, because I think he probably would have been found out in a race like that. Instead, Gav's just gone, despite winning a group one, training his first group one, we're just going to stick to our original plan. We're going to give him a little freshen up, go to the Scalacci 1100, wait for age. He jumped out like an absolute rocket at the Caulfield Heath track. And although the end of 1100 metres is still a slight query, I think when you're in career best form, which he is in, it's absolutely the right time to try it again. This horse was placed in an Oakley plate. He beat home recommendation there. Recommendation is the one who did go to the Manicato, and I just don't really like that setup for him, even though he is back to 1100 metres, a distance he goes best at. Mornings and Glory comes here with the best last start rating, ran to 101.2 in the Moya, and this horse is just absolutely flying. So at $4, he's a bet for me, but I'm also backing the one that Nico likes as well in number 6, Star Patrol. He's been a while off the scene, so there's every chance he might even get better than the $7.750 on offer, but he's had two jump outs. He's looked enormous in both of them, and he actually boasts the best career peak rating of any horse in this field. He ran to 102.1 when winning the Gilguy Stakes in the spring of last year, early on in the spring. And yeah, I think he is extremely good value at around that $7 quote. And he's a horse that I actually don't mind drawn out here because he's a big striding thing. He probably needs room. And I take Nico's point that he is better suited at Flemington. I still think he can sort of sit three wide here and win. So those are the two horses I'm really keen on. Mornington Glory maps beautifully from barrier 5. He'll be near enough to the speed, and Star Patrol will be the big, big closer. I'm happy to take on recommendation. Kalos was solid, but he couldn't get past recommendation fresh, and he does fly fresh.
He's a beast.
And Oscar's Fortune is the other one you could definitely have something on. But yeah, I'm happy 2 and 6.
Wonder how
just have 3 in the quaddy?
I wonder how Tarzan's going to go now that he's lost his two best mates. Well, he's more like Hardy. He's more like trials like Tarzan, plays like Jane on race day.
Nah, he's gone. Sorry.
Be real Stepardi fucking type areas to probably blouse and win here.
Yeah. Everyone's Bot, off. Do you have any thoughts in this race?
Nah, I didn't like it at all. These sorts of races aren't my go. I just leave them.
Did I hear recommendations going to Hong Kong?
Yes, you did.
Crazy. Crazy.
What the fuck? What?
Yeah.
The Shalars don't run 1,200 downhill, let alone 1,200 in Hong Kong.
Yeah. After a busy preparation, it just seems like
days.
Seems like a suicidal preparation.
Anyway. I wouldn't call it suicidal, but I don't think he can win.
He can't run 1,200 in his own backyard. Why go overseas and find that out the hard way?
I don't know.
Nico, are you happy just to take the 3 in the quaddy?
Mornings
and
Glory, well down to 8.
Yep. Oscar's Fortune and Star Patrol go in the quaddy.
Yep.
All right, let's get to the big one. The race of the day. They put it as race 10 on the card. How bloody good is that? It's going to be at 5:45. Race 10 is the Toorak Handicap Group 1, 1,600 metres. Another Will, or another Bot, as we like to call him here at Racing Previews, is $2.80 from Antino, $4.80. Desert Lightning, $7. Craig is going to be ridden by Craig at $8.50. And Orchestral is $10. Will, give us a quick little summary of how you think things might pan out early. Magnus Spin goes forward from barrier 2, I would imagine. And also Wishlaw Lass comes across from 9. Desert Lightning probably wants to be handy enough from 11. Is that the way you saw it?
No, I kind of... There's a part of me that sort of thinks that they might try and lead on another Will because there's not a... I mean, Magnus Spin goes forward, Wishlaw Lass probably goes forward, but aside from that, there's not a... And Bankmore too, but there's not a massive amount of speed, and I don't know if they want to risk being caught in the box seat, you know, the race sort of evolves around them sort of as it can around Caulfield when they come around the bend. I reckon they just might, you know... They might just try and take luck out of the equation and just run them along. But that wouldn't surprise me at all. So yeah, Craig has to go back from the wide barrier and Tino sort of slots in a nice midfield position. Orchestral was ridden really negatively in New Zealand over 14 first up, and she comes over I assume she's going to be sort of worse than midfield. And I think Ostapenko sort of has to punch up and try and be forward from that inside barrier. So, yeah, this race for me, so all along I've sort of said, you know, another Will is going to get in so well in the Toorak and he's just sort of going to be this good thing. But, you know, he gets in half a kilo better than Antino. And I, for whatever reason, I wasn't thinking that hard. And, you know, there's not a whole lot between, at least on what they've done so far, there's not much at all between Antino and another Will. There is, you know, there's nothing. And if anything, Antino's been better thus far. But, you know, it's all upside with another Will. The market loves him. He's had a, you know, he was set an impossible task first up and he still won. And then he got knocked over second up. So there could just be that. You know, we still don't really know how good he is. So there's that with the price. And if he is soft, he's a horse that I could back. And Tino, I think, is, you know, he's a rock. He's a really nice horse. Ostapenko, I think he's getting somewhere near back to his best form. I think he's probably had a couple issues. He's sort of been off the scene a bit. He's been they've only been able to get a few runs into him. But he's third up here, and I think he can settle a lot more forward with Damian Lane on Craig. I think they've got to go back, and I think that's the problem for him. Orchestral, I think, is a stayer. She'd want this really, really strongly run. I'm sort of dictated to by what the market does here. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm not even betting in this race, to be honest. I sort of thought Pericles was the bet, but they've obviously taken him out. 290. I've got another Will about 340, Antino about 450, and Ostapenko $10, and Desert Lightning 11, Craig 12. So, not a betting race as of right now, but what's the market sitting at? You know, they're all sort of sitting around that 120, 122, 123, that sort of mark. So, once it comes down a little bit, maybe Betfair. We'll see what happens, but, you know, three, I probably don't get the price I want for another Will, but yeah, not a betting race for me.
You might get the price you want for Antino because there's every chance that there's thousands upon thousands of multis that are being piled into another Will as the last leg, and there is some chance you get $6 Antino on the day.
But that doesn't affect Betfair, does it? And in these sorts of races, they're dictated. I mean,
it affects the corpse.
Yeah, it definitely does. But it doesn't affect Betfair, obviously. I think Ostapenko might be the one that gets out to 20s and I just have something on it, Betfair. But
hateful.
Yeah, well, that's my sort of bet. It's hateful. It'll probably run third, but...
It is your sort of bet.
It is my sort of bet.
You're right there.
Yeah.
Two things will happen here. Depending on what happens prior to this, another Will's either going to start 220 or 320.
Yeah.
And as long as another Will isn't slaughtered by this bloke on top, he'll win. I think there's this other stupid theory that he's going to be three defense. I don't understand why there's this narrative that gets pushed with his horse that he's got no gate speed and he's a backmarker. Like, fair dinkum. If he wanted to, he could probably nearly lead this race. He's got enough gate speed to be prominent early, and as long as Squib on top is proactive and is thinking straight, this horse will be probably just behind the leader, and it's just a matter of when he gets out is to when he has the race won and done by. He will win this race, no doubt about that, providing he gets a good steer from this idiot on top. That's all.
Settle down. He's air.
Settle.
That's all.
We need to preface this this hate by saying this is not the thoughts of racing previews. This is not the opinion
of the racing previews. The thoughts that have been spoken are the thoughts of Nick McQualdo, and they don't reflect racing previews.
Thank you. There's the disclaimer.
Michael D is beating the market for the last 12 months. He's absolutely smashing it for the last 50, and he's beating it last.
No doubt he'll fuck the punters here.
And he's pretty good at golf as well, apparently, Nico. I reckon
he flies a chopper. I'll take him to the golf course. He has a helicopter license.
We'll go for a game of golf, me and him.
I would love to see Michael D pick up Nico McGualter in his chopper. Take him for a whiz around Melbourne.
Yeah. He can stick his fucking chopper in his ass. I'll happily meet him on the first tee, though.
All right. Another Will clearly on top. He's a horse that we've had, you know, we've had futures bets going on for quite a long time now. We were able to secure $8 when markets first opened for him in this race. I think he wasn't afforded the opportunity to run a big figure last start. You know, he was almost put through the rail by Blake Shin, who got suspended on Run Harry Run. Jamie Carr was brave in that situation. She took the gap. The horse was still good enough to pick himself up off the deck and won. I think he's got a peak incoming that is better than Antino. But Antino, as you said, Bot, he's an absolute rock. We backed him at $11 all in. This horse was only, you know, finishing on the heels of Mr. Brightside last start in the Fan. I think that sort of zip home there is going to bring him on nicely. And he gets in just as well as last year's Toorak, where he was narrowly nosed out by attrition. He had a bit of a tough run there. So I'd be a little bit surprised if one of the two don't win. Desert Lightning, he's as tough as nails. He's got to carry the top weight. We're on at 21s and 6s there. Craig, we're on at 26s as well. He's going to get back a long way. That's the only little problem there. But, you know, gets in with 53.5 kilos and he is a monster finisher. So keen to see what he can do late. Don't be surprised if he's flashing home over the top of him. And the other one we've had something tiny on, more so the place, is Ostapenko. Able to get $7 for a place and 26s for the win. So we've got a bloody good book on the race, but another Will from Antino just seems the most obvious, and I'd be surprised if one of them don't win. Nico, who do you want to take in the quaddie?
Three and four.
I might just put number 9 Craig in as well.
Yeah, sure.
I just think there's so much X factor. Yeah, he is poorly weighted, but
he's what, like an 80 rater?
Yeah. He probably should have beaten Desert Lightning last start at Sandown.
Probably should have, but he still
didn't
hasn't.
Get the luck. Yeah, I'm going to throw him in the quaddy as well. Desert
Lightning's got some real form. Well, he's beaten Legato.
Yeah, true. But he does got to carry the 57.
Yeah.
Craig Williams on Craig, like, it's a match made in heaven. It's one we've been waiting for now for quite a few months. All right, let's get up to Rosehill Gardens. Rail position 2+ from the 1500 to the 900, and then 3+ for the remainder and the shoot. Good four, good conditions. I'm expecting a good track. Nick, first race you're playing in is race 4, the Gloaming Stakes, 1800 meter group 3. This looks a ripping contest between Swift Falcon, $2.60, Henline, $3.60, Tembury Wells is $5, and Al Costello is $5.50. No doubt whoever wins this race will be spring champion favourite.
Yeah. No doubt about that, but I don't think Swift Falcon will beat Henlin on Saturday, and if he is lucky enough to beat him on Saturday, he won't beat him in the Spring Champions. Looks a pretty nice horse, Henlin. I know I'm not on him for the Spring Champions, but I'm on him for the Derby. So unfortunately, due to the bullshit programming, he won't be doing the double, which is just ludicrous because a horse like this would just go and stomp up in the Derby. But I can understand why they don't want to go there off a week back up. So that's something that the calendar needs to be addressed to before next season, I think. But yeah, he was super at the Valley, and I think back to Rose Hill, where he looks like he's gone fairly good the Sydney way. Yeah, I just expect him to be awfully hard to beat here. It's very strange that Swift Falcon's here, honestly, because the Hawkses don't often back their horses up. They don't do it often, so it's very interesting that they are. Like, are they just trying to strike while the iron's hot? I just don't really get it. But, yeah, interesting. It's just very strange. When I heard that he was going to run, I said, no, no chance. He's running, so I was wrong. But doesn't seem right. But anyway.
I can see why Swift Falcon is favourite in this race. And if you look at the sort of rating spread on Form King, he has been rating a little bit better. And he's been mighty impressive in those three wins. Like, don't get me wrong at all, but Henlein just looks like he's looking for further. It's as simple as that. He gets to 1,800 metres. He's been running in the proper form races in behind Lady Shenandoah, who, you know, went to a flight stakes, won by 3.5 lengths, absolutely put pay to them. And then Evaporate, who is literally won his last four races in a row. He's won three in a row at the Valley and absolutely loves the joint. Goes into the Caulfield Guineas as a $12 chance. Henlein, he's been my staying three-year-old colt from the very, very beginning. He just looks like he wants 2,000 metres already. He gets 1,800 metres on Saturday. That's good enough for me. I think they're going to come together at the 500 metres and make their run as one, and it's going to be bloody exciting, but I'm on Henlein narrowly on top of Swift Falcon, and once they get to 2,000 metres, I'm even more heavily in Henline's corner. So it's going to be a cracking race, but yep, Nico and I with Henlein. Move across to race five, the Roman Console, group two, 1,200 metres for the three-year-olds. Coleman is $3.70 favourite from Spirit of Wealth. Equal, locked in at $3.70 equal favourite. It's been well-backed, Spirit of Wealth. Gatsby's is $5.50, Switzerland $6.50, and Perspiration $7.50 off the last start win. Nico, you're being very, very forgiving of a particular Cornwall horse.
Yeah, I've always had a lot of time for Switzerland, and I think he's a good horse. He was given a proper knife last start. I was pretty public in our conversations at our pre-production meeting this afternoon that...
Pre-production meeting?
That's rich. That's definitely rich.
Mate.
Well, that's what it was. We were chatting pre-podcast, so... Whether you want to give it a title or not, Bot, that's up to you.
Yeah, Microsoft Teams meeting.
Yeah. I just think there's enough to say that he was underdone going into his first up run based off his trials, and he was given no real favours, ridden against his usual sort of groove first up. He's had a trial in between. There was something closer to what he usually is. I think barrier four, Nash on. I think it is D-Day on Saturday, but I think he's going to be awarded all favours with a positive jockey change and a good barrier, and he'll be ridden in his proper manner. Gatsby's has been nothing but disappointing ever since he's... flashy win first up. I think, anyway, he's been pretty disappointing. His next two, Spirit of Wealth has won a maiden and a midweek race, albeit has been impressive, but still a long, long, big jump to what it faces here on Saturday. And Coleman, he returns to Sydney where he's, where probably his best run has been in the slipper. But, yeah, I think Switzerland's probably the best horse in this race, and I'm backing him to get back to that on Saturday, and I think at a bit better price this morning, I think you're getting a price to find out. So I'm happy to give him another chance, or give him a chance on Saturday.
Yep, sweet. I thought this was a very difficult race, and I'm happy to shoulder arms. Coleman, clearly best horse, but... he wasn't fantastic last start, and to be honest, these are the B graders, and they will not be troubling the scoreboard in the Coolmore. So, you know, someone's going to win a nice race on Saturday and win a fair bit of prize money, but this is not a race that I want to get too involved in. Race 7 is the Hill Stakes, 1,900 metres, Group 2, worth $2 million. Would you believe it? How on earth is a Group 2 Hill Stakes worth more than an Epsom Handicap? One of the great time-honoured races of the Sydney Carnival last week. The $1.5 million is a disgrace in compared to this. You've got an Alan Brown for $1.5 mil, which is the same as an Epsom, and you've got these Hill Stakes, which is worth $2 million, all because PVL wants to either keep horses in Sydney or steal the Victorian horses to Sydney instead of running in a Might and Power Stakes before a Cox Plate. It's ludicrous, but... nonetheless, we've got to find a winner in it. Royal Patronage is $3.60 favorite from Pericles $4.20. Kovalika and Golden Path are both $5.50. New Endeavor $11. Nonconformist $12 and Attrition $18. I think the first horse you just immediately pick up the pen and put it through is number one, Pericles. He is a Godolphin horse who is starting to get a little bit deeper in the prep now, coming off a bit of a gut buster in the Underwood where they did go fast on a bit of a choppy track. I don't think he sees out a strong 1,900 metres. I'm perplexed as to why they scratched from the Toorak handicap. Looked much better placed there at the mile. James McDonald on board. So happily penned through him. I know he's got some 2,000 metre form, but you know it's an Erosio Guineas where he was beaten by Osipenko off a dawdling tempo. Like, I just don't think it's real.
Form.
Royal Patronage. He's a hard one. He deserves to be favourite, no doubt. But I'm happy to sort of take him on. He's another one where I'm not really sure about him up to 1,900 metres. I went back and watched some of his overseas replays, and he's got form in the US, and he ran second to Desert Crown one day over 2,000 metres, but he did get lapped in a few of those 2,000 metre events. He sat on top of a very slow tempo for Epsom standards last week, and he was just okay late in the piece.
He just reeks of a horse that always runs well. And it's typical that he had his birthday first up against Amelia's Jewel. He's always going to run gallant, and being a front, strong front running horse, he's always going to run well, and he's going to be there, thereabouts, but he's going to get beaten more than he probably wins.
I was happy to take him on as well. There's two horses here at $6 who are both extremely hard to beat. Golden Path, he has to rise from set weights and penalties to weight for age. So that's his challenge here. But he was absolutely enormous running third behind Alias and Chaya Wolf last start. Alias subsequently started favourite in a Turnbull, and Chaya Wolf came out and absolutely brained them in the Epsom last week. That's proper form. 2,000 metres is his best distance. For mine, he actually goes on top. Kovalika is another horse I'm going to back. I know he's been a little bit hateful, but he's third up. He's Waller. He's finally been placed in a race that he can win. Drawn barrier two, so they're going to try and be a little bit more positive. And as long as he doesn't get bad luck, then I think he's extremely hard to hold out. He would have actually gone past Royal Patronage last week in the Epsom if he hadn't have got bumped at the top of the straight. So those are the clear 1-2 for me. New Endeavour, he's got good form at 2,000 metres. You can have something on him. Nonconformist, he's another one. He's only second up, so he might still be one run away. You might be able to have something on him. And Attrition, we've backed him at $7.50 for a place all in and $26, something small to win. You know, he comes through that fan, and I know he was well beaten, but if he does run a strong 1,900 metres, I think he's sneakily going better than everyone else thinks, and he's peaking for this fourth up. So I think the play in this race is just to take on number one and two and sort of play around the edges with Kovalika, Golden Path, New Endeavour, Nonconformist, Attrition, those horses, and just try and get a result out of the race that way.
I didn't really have a firm lean to anything in this race. I thought Nonconformist could run really well here. It's a bit of a set play from Beg. And it's great placement for a horse like him. He doesn't have to run against the good horses down here. It's a race with great prize money at a distance that is probably him to a T. He's really solid around that sort of distance range. So, he's been a super old horse, and he looks well placed to make a good account of himself here. And at least you sort of know what you're going to get with him. A few ahead of him in the market aren't completely trustworthy, Kovalika and co. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting race, but I thought Nonconformist was probably a fair gamble at the price.
Yep. The Alan Brown is race 8. I'll quickly go through this. 1,400 metre 3-year-old, Gringotts $4, Jimmy Star $6.50, NCAP $7, Here to Shock $8. I've had a small bet on NCAP at $8. I thought he was really, really good last start, second up. Draws well in barrier three. Hopefully K-Mac can just get him out of the stalls a little bit better. He ran to 98 last start, so adjusted to 55.5 kilos. That tips him just over the 100 mark if he was to repeat that figure. That puts him right up in calculations here. I am hoping Jimmy Starr doesn't run. He needs a few to come out. I think he will get into this race if they want to come here. I really hope they do go to Melbourne because it's a much more winnable race for him, even though this is worth more. So I'm just happy to have something small on NCAP. I think Samana probably could bounce back from barrier one. She pulled her head off and it probably wasn't the best ride a few weeks ago on grand final day. She's the obvious improver. Gringotts was awesome. First up, he looked like he was just, you know, set for an Epsom. And because this race is worth $1.5 million over 1,400 metres and it's going to take less winning, they decide to come here. So that is just a little bit of shooting themselves in the foot, I think. By putting so much money on this race, you get an inferior Epsom field and they sort of split in two divisions to some sense. So, yeah, it's a little bit frustrating, but it is what it is. I'm happy to have something small on NCAP.
I thought Gringotts was hard enough to beat here. He went super first up, goes good second up. He's just a very likeable horse, Gringotts. He's been a horse that I've enjoyed backing over his time, and I can't see why he won't win here. And then he goes to the big dance where you would have thought he's probably going to have a fair handle on that race. I know, yep. He had a shot.
The race that stops the nation.
Yeah, fair dinkum. What a word. But yeah, I think barring Heat of Shock, who's a gallant horse, I think Gringotts is probably that touch better. But both honest, both good horses. But yeah, I thought Gringotts would be pretty hard to beat. You can probably follow him to the big dance.
Sydney Siders, make sure you buy your Daily Telegraph paper on the 5th of November and you get your big dance sweep in the paper. The race at Substination. Make sure you bunch up with all your friends at the barbecue and you all draw out a horse in the big dance and hopefully you get Gringotts. All right, the division is race 9. It's a 1,200-meter Group 3 race for the mares. Alentia is $2.90 favorite from A Little Deep, also dual accepted $6.50. Peach Treaty $6.50 and Coco Jambo is $7. Nico.
One of the better bets of the day for me here, number 3, Alentia. Bomb fresh horse. I just think that she's just a bit better than this lot here. Tommy Berry, good gate. Trials have been, her trial was solid. She does go a little bit better on a wet track, but I'm not worried with the good track. I'm not worried about the one trial. She goes so good fresh. It's not a bad recipe for her to be coming here off one trial. She'll be here ready to go, and she looks set for a good campaign, whatever that may be. But yeah, this is not a very good race, and she just looks a touch better than to me.
Beautiful. All right, that is Melbourne and Sydney wrapped up. Nico, go around the grounds, give us a Friday fill up, a Sunday, even something out wide on a Saturday.
Yeah, there's one horse that I thought was very well placed tomorrow, and that comes in the Pinker Plate, race 7 at Cranbourne. I thought Basilina would be hard to beat. Billy Egan is okay, but I just thought this horse, drawn one, should map to get a reasonable run. Is a horse that gets better as the preparation goes on. Second up, last preparation, she was beaten a nose by Autumn Angel at Flemington. She's a horse that's got her fair share of class when she's run against some pretty good mares that have gone on to do pretty good things. So, I think this is probably the weakest race that she's contested out to a suitable trip in some time, and I just thought at the price she was a good bet. So yeah, it's hard to see her not running well. And the other bet that I was interested in on Saturday is across the border at Murray Bridge, race 7. If number 9 Anglin isn't better than a no Metro win horse or one Metro win horse in the last season on a Saturday, I'd be pretty surprised. this horse has got more ability than Scribbs in Adelaide on a Saturday. And, yeah, I think he's been sent there for a kill. And if he can't win this race, well, he's in a bit of trouble. I know Price cannot going super at the moment, but this looks a very winnable race for Angler, who's got his fair share of ability.
Yep. Will, anything?
Yeah, I've backed One Soul, One Dream in race 7. I've also backed Rebadge.
Race 7 where?
Cranbourne. Against my one.
Yeah. I reckon it'll go forward and it's out to a trip. And nice bet. I think it's a 260 shot. And I'm on Rebadge in the Hamilton Cup, race 7. I think it can be a lot more forward. And I've got it just about favourite, and they went up 13s. 365 is the only join up. So I've backed it there, and yeah, we'll see what happens if they open it. We'll see what I could bet a couple of the joints as well. But and then obviously, if Bizzo scratches, I hope they scratch from Crawford. I hope they go to Seymour on Sunday. And if it goes on Sunday, I am, it's probably my best bet of the weekend if they go there.
Oh, sweet.
Well, I like Sabin a lot, but I'd say that's probably my best.
Do we have a price at Seymour?
It's 440 at Seymour. I think it should be like sweet. 240.
Race 6, Seymour. So you can probably still have something on there, and if it scratches, you get your money back anyway. Bot, well done for your winner today, Certain Rise, Thursday Phillip.
There were two of them, but one didn't get tipped.
Oh, two. Sorry.
You have to be a subscriber. Bot subscriber.
Oh. Sorry, mate. Didn't realize you tipped two winners. Well, you backed two and you only tipped one. Shartin on Sunday is there's only one good race, but it is a very good race. We see the return of Beauty Eternal, Galaxy Patch, Voyage Bubble, Beauty Joy. I've got eyes for Galaxy Patch here, to be honest. I think this horse can really, really go to a new level in his five-year-old season. He showed glimpses of what he could do last preparation, but you know, with a spell under the belt, a bit more maturing, and hopefully Vincent Ho can get him out of the barriers and just settle a little bit closer from two. I've got eyes for him. Voyage Bubble is the class horse, but he does have 61 kilos. He draws barrier 9 for Andre Azzini. So I've got eyes for Galaxy Patch here, and I think he really could be Vincent Ho's next superstar in Hong Kong. All right, we need a best bet, a best each way, double figures, and putting the sword through a favorite. We call it the back lay and the prey. My best bet, I'm going to be boring and go broadsiding. You know, who cares? He's out to $1.65 now. That's value. Race 8, Caulfield, number 1, broadsiding. My best each way, it's going to be same as Bot, possibly. Race 3, Caulfield, number 15, Bizzo. And my lay, I am going to make it race 3 as well. I am going to make it a little deep. I think she's very hard to beat, but I just don't really love that she's drawn barrier 2 in a big field.
Ladon de V or Braden Starr in the Herbert Power is my best sort of bigger odds chance. And I think Sabin's the best on Saturday. And which I don't know if I can really lay anything on Saturday. I think the market's just about right. And yeah.
I'll go best value, Caulfield, race 4, number 1, Vibrant Sun. Best bet will be in Sydney, Rose Hill, race 9, number 3, Alentia. Obviously in Melbourne, the three shorties I'm all very keen on. And my lay of the day, probably, well, the only horse that I'm really against in a race that I'm probably playing in is in this Scalacci. I'm happy to be against Morning Glory.
Sweet. All right, question time. Try and get through them as quick as I can. Twitter ones start. Ryan Patton says, not a question, but a statement. Not sure if you follow harness racing that much, but broadsiding Mr. Brightside, leap to fame. Just believe the multi should just feed families this weekend. Nico, that's up your area.
Well, yeah, I don't follow a lot of harness racing, but the two stars of their sport are at Melton on Saturday night for they call it the Cox Plate of the harness racing, the Victoria Cup. So yeah, do tune in to see Just Believe, which is in the Trotting Mile, I think it is, and Leap to Fame is in the Victoria Cup. They're two horses that are very important for that sport, which is in a bit of a dire state. But yeah, I do enjoy watching those two horses go around because they are both champions, and I don't mind watching a good horse or a good athlete in any sport, regardless whether I've got a massive understanding or love for it. You can't get tired of seeing good horses or good athletes be good at what they do.
Yep. Completely agree with that. Botch says, need an investigation into the validity of some subscribers. Benny Scarfe's Dabble Army seem to move the SPs as soon as tips hit the notification bar. This is in relation to me. They must be afraid of the six-day racing punters. Yeah. I am sorry to my subscribers if some prices do just evaporate as soon as I send them out. It is extremely tough. Usually I will try and find two or three different joints that have the price. So I can say, take it at this joint, take it at this joint, and take it at that joint. But yeah, so we know how cast some of these bookies can be, you know, and how quickly they react. So I am very sorry, but there's not much I can do about it. Simbot says, go get him, Mr. Preview. Thanks very much. Chris says, do you think the market will come for Antino and the Turak, especially if Mr. Brightside bolts in earlier? Also for Bot, what's the biggest price discrepancy you have between your prices and the market? So two questions. Will they come for Antino and the Turak if Mr. Brightside bolts in, given they come from the same form line? Don't know. I don't think it's that relevant because I think lots of people will have the Mr. Brightside.
If another Will was running in the race in the fan, he wouldn't have run any further than what Antino did behind Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So it's completely just theoretical. Like if another Will was in those situations that Antino's been in, he would have done no worse, if not probably gone better, as far as I believe. So I don't think, I'm with you. I don't think it matters, regardless if Mr. B wins or not, about Antino's price.
Yeah. Will, biggest price discrepancy between your prices and market? Maybe Bezo on Sunday?
Yeah, it'd be Bezo, but on Saturday, Sabin, I've got it 240. It's 290 now, and they bet 360 yesterday.
Sweet. So that's race one, Bot's best bet. Get it nice and early, punters. James says, need an over and under market for horses. Nico calls a moral this episode. Tab, please set a line. And Kyle's chimed in with 3.5 in the comments. So I'm not sure how many. I reckon it was three.
It's close.
Who did I call a moral? Broadsiding?
Broadsiding, Mr. Brightside. And another Will.
Yeah. I think Alinchi is a moral, so there you go. Overs, punters, rejoice.
Oh, four overs. The overs get up. Jack Larkin. This is harsh. Who showed less heart? Pride of Jenny going to a Group 2 for a win or Ben going to Caroline Springs for a flag?
That is fucking brilliant. Sorry, excuse my language, but that is brilliant. Thank you for that. That is awesome.
Wow. The sword straight through me.
It's a bit harsh on both fronts.
I hope whoever you play for or the club you are involved with, I hope I'm playing against them next year, and I hope we whoop your ass. That's all I can say.
That is brilliant. That's the best comment anyone's ever left. That is awesome.
Grab the solo. Don't open the can. Shove it up your ass. That's what I'll say to that. Tyson Hunter, Nico, welcome back. How do you feel about Bot's recent form?
It's a bit of an anomaly, and it's hard to believe.
There we go. Nice and simple. Nico, will you back Buckaroo in the Cups?
No, I won't be on Buckaroo in the Cups. And that's nothing to do with that. I do think this horse has turned into quite a different horse post his gelding operation, but... spoiler alert, I want to be with the Sydney form coming to the Caulfield Cup next week. There's two horses that I know will run 2,400 metres and further, and I think the two horses that have been running in Melbourne, one's never gone near it, one's question mark at it. So, I want to be with Land Legend and Zardozzi into the Caulfield Cup rather than Buckaroo and Elias.
Nico's with the Metrop form in the Caulfield Cup. Boys, is the stage at Caulfield high enough to jump off if Mr. Brightside loses?
That's a good question. We've also got the grandstand.
I don't. Oh, this got real dark real quick.
Just in case.
You shut your mouth, all right? Mr. Brightside wins.
It's a train station. No.
you prick.
No.
You Bot, absolute
hang your head
arsehole.
In shame. Anyway. Tice, I like the question box is Mexicans because Bot has an affinity with Mexicans. The Three Amigos, that was the box I put up. Tyson, last one. Nico, if you were a horse, would you be linebacker or buckaroo?
Oh, fuck.
We established he's Kamentari at the start of the podcast.
Yeah. I'll leave that up for everyone else's labels.
Special K. Sam Bettolato, didn't read my comment last week declaring Swift Falcon with Magualta, RSN confidence.
Huh?
No, I didn't.
What?
Did Sam Battalato say something about Swift Falcon?
On RSN?
What? I don't know.
What? Read that again?
Didn't read my comment last week declaring Swift Falcon with Magualta RSN confidence. So I think he declared Swift Falcon with the same confidence that you showed
when I declared that fucking lorry squib.
What was it called? Moral.
Midtown Boss.
Midtown Moral, that's the one. Midtown Boss.
Forever, yeah. Never again, Vim.
So Michael Falgate never invited us back on the podcast. Do you know how well my futures tipping actually went day?
Yeah.
I said Fangirl Wingstakes got beat. I said Mr. Brightside Mackay Diva, tick. I said Via Sestina Turnbull, tick. I said Broadside in Caulfield Guineas, he's going to win.
I gave him Affluential that was $3.50 into $1.70 and pissed in. And I've given him the 1,000 guineas winner 3 months in advance because she'll be the favourite after Saturday.
Yeah, we need a rain check on that.
I'll hit him up. Go back and clip it up
and go and show him that despite Midtown Boss going down.
Mind you, we were the only blokes in the country that were tipping that horse.
Yeah, I think we were the only blokes in the country that were also available on that particular day. That's why we got the call up. RD, Nico. What do you have to say about Bot's current form? Another one.
Yeah, anomaly.
Nico, what's the secret to weight loss?
How does he know what I look like? He hasn't even seen me.
He doesn't. I'll leave it to his weight loss.
I'll leave it to his imagination.
Is not eating as much. I reckon that might be the secret, but I could be
wrong. Well, it is 90% what you eat. But yeah, it's a bit like everything in life. You get out what you put in. Work hard, results happen.
You are what you eat. And Will is a spud. Ryan, can anyone explain what a guinea is? I don't know what a guinea is, but I think this is the term they use to describe 3-year-old races. That is my quick summary of that question, but go and look it up. But yeah, 3-year-old races, guineas. Coops Irwin, Bot, what do you attribute to your current string of form?
Variance, and I'm going to get smashed on this weekend.
Nico, would you trade a Bombers premiership in the next 5 years if jumps stopped?
That probably could be the smartest question someone's ever asked.
Which one would you rather?
Especially from a Collingwood supporter.
Would you rather Essendon premiership or jumps continuing?
Come on, we've been going for an hour and a half.
I've lived 25 years of hell, so...
The jumps are gone. Essendon win their first final in forever and then win
They're
a final.
They're going Get anyway, up. So it doesn't matter.
Get up, Bot. The last one is from Cooper, and it's Ben. What is your best futures you have going for this weekend? It's another Will, $8 in a Turak. Mr. Brightside, $7 in a Might and Power, and a tissue, $3.40 the place, also in the Might and Power. Those are the three.
And your best one yet's probably the one that's going to be shorter after he wins on Saturday. Sydney, Heedlen is probably your best ticket.
Yeah.
Post Saturday.
We're on it. $51 and $14 a place for Henline in the Spring Champion. All right, that's all there, punters. I've tried to go through this last half an hour as quickly as I can, but I told you it was always going to go this long. Nico, it's been great having you back on. Boys, it's going to be a fantastic Saturday. It's going to be feast or famine, no doubt. See you on the track, punters. prayers, prayers, prayers. We're coming back on Monday and we've got pockets full of cash. What you
over carefully, we will come through.